So, I mean, I don't know if you guys remember Dan Haggerty at all.
Who doesn't?
Grizzly Adams.
Yeah, exactly, Grizzly Adams. So, he just recently passed away.
That was a tough loss this year.
It was a very tough loss. You know, he was a very good friend of the show. We had him on regularly.
He's a regular guest, and every time he was on your show, my ears would perk up. I always loved what he had to say.
A unbelievably insightful man, and I don't know if you guys know, but he was a poet.
Yeah.
Just beautiful poetry, and he would come on the show, he would read some of his poems. He was just a beautiful man, and I actually got the chance to deliver the eulogy at his funeral, and that was...
That must have been amazing.
It's one of the highest honors my entire life, so really high watermark there.
We were going to show up, but we had other plans, scuba diving off the reefs of New Zealand, but the flight was already booked. I mean, what can you do?
Yeah.
They don't refund that.
No.
He wasn't a blood relative, so they couldn't give us a refund on our...
We had a special ceremony, though, when we were in New Zealand.
Yeah, we did. Yeah. Because we befriended that tribe of Maori warriors.
Yeah.
We did that special dance to commemorate. It's called a haka. We did a haka in Dan Haggerty's honor, and I'm sure he saw it wherever he is, obviously heaven.
I'm sure he loved it.
Welcome to Dylan and Dutch Metal Detecting. Welcome. Today we have a special guest, call it a dual cast. His name is Ira Fuller. He hosts the 10 o'clock Shadow. It's a nationally syndicated radio show. I know you've heard of it. Ira.
Well, hello to the wonderful listening audience of Dylan and Dutch Metal Detecting. This is really... I can't even begin to explain how much of a pleasure and honor it is to be able to do this season one wrap-up show with you guys. For those of you who might be unfamiliar with the 10 o'clock shadow...
Which is impossible because...
First of all, shame on you.
Yeah, we talk about you all the time in our podcast. We mention you almost every single episode.
I appreciate that. So the 10 o'clock shadow, it is a forum that is dedicated to the epic men in the world and their epic beards and other forms of facial hair, because let's face it, if you're a real man, you have hair on your face.
You've been trying to get us on your show for years.
Yeah.
And we haven't been ducking you, we've just been busy, but every time we take a pause, we think, we gotta go on the 10 o'clock show.
We should call up Ira.
Yeah. You know, that's why I love your podcast, your show. It finally answers some questions as to why I haven't been able to get you guys on the show. I get it now.
Yeah.
I get it.
But we said we gotta make time. Ira Fuller, you're a player in the game, and you're winning it. And we want everyone to know, in your audience base, to know what we're like. Because our audience base, our listeners, our subscribers, they certainly know about you.
And the guests that I have on my show are obviously familiar with you guys as well, and are huge fans, and your idols to many.
Sure.
So you guys come up in conversation.
I guess we're
in
good company with those people
all the time. I mean, Chuck Norris wouldn't stop.
Charlie's a good guy.
Would not stop raving about the times that he's been out.
Doesn't drink beer. He's I like his principles. Yeah.
Heck of a fisherman.
Does he even need a rod? You've got a lot of illustrious bearded men on your podcast.
Yes, yes, yes. Dan Haggerty, as we mentioned, had a great sit down. It was sort of a mini series that we did with Gandalf.
Sure.
It's
amazing the similarities Dylan and Dutch have with Gandalf. What's his last name, Dutch?
Some people call him Mithrandir.
Mithrandir. Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Gandalf the Grey. He ends up Gandalf the White.
Yeah.
But the similarities I would it's synonymous with similarities between, say, Abraham Lincoln and Barack Obama. Hmm. Both from Chicago, Illinois, both ended up president, both were men.
Both learned how to read on the back of a shovel with a lump of coal.
Yeah.
Actually, that's...
They both wear those tall hats.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Barack doesn't like to wear his in public, though.
No, it's kind of weird.
Yeah. He prefers, prefers the mom jeans and the
right.
cardigans
that's
and stuff.
That's private time with Michelle.
Yes. So, let's just...
Get on in it.
Let's get into this.
Yeah.
We got some questions here.
I'm sure you do, and we want to answer them all.
So, the first thing I want to ask, and I don't want this to sound a little, you know, too awkward or accusatory.
Not at all.
But no. The name of your show is Dylan and Dutch Metal Detecting.
Yeah.
I listened, of course, to every second of every episode. Pure gold. Have to say, pure gold, every single
Thank
episode.
Thank you.
I hope the pun is intended.
Absolutely, yes. You guys don't just find gold, you record it as well.
Yeah.
I have to say, I did notice that you don't speak a lot about actual metal detecting.
Yeah.
See, that's where you're wrong.
I couldn't agree more with you, Dutch.
Because I've heard that before.
I hear it all the time.
And I went back, and I've been listening to some of our older archived episodes, and every single episode we're talking about metal detecting. I mean, it's the name of the podcast.
Episode 3, it's only about metal detecting.
Yeah, and I think what happens is people like to pigeonhole metal detecting.
They editorialize.
And put it into a little box. And they think it's just, you know, guys with silly socks waving these beeping sticks on a beach. And,
right.
you know.
My socks aren't silly. They're
no.
hands.
No. And, yeah.
People think, oh, well, you're metal detecting. What are you, 68 and on a pension? And does your wife let you go out and bring home shells and coins? And the answer is no, I'm not 68.
Yeah.
And my wife lets me bring home whatever I want.
Yeah, and you can't even find shells with a metal detector, idiot. That's what I tell them.
Truly stupid.
Yeah.
I want to punch people in the throat for that. But, I mean, getting to the answer to your question is, every episode we say it's Dylan and Dutch metal detecting. And I know one of the episodes we talked about ground balance, and we talked about our trusted, almost every episode we talk about our Garrett AT Pro, the best metal detector in the game.
Yeah. Best all around, definitely.
You may make an argument that the Garrett AT Gold, I think that's what it's called, is better, but I'm sticking with the Garrett AT Pro.
Yeah.
But it's a great question. I think we get it a lot, but people need to read between the lines. Was Karl Marx's Communist Manifesto about the proletariat? Was the Da Vinci Code really about the sacred feminine? Was the book Dune? Is it really about a bunch of sand?
Hmm.
And the answer is probably not. Is Dylan and Dutch Metal Detecting not about metal detecting? It's only about metal detecting. But thank you for the question, because
it's good to clear that up.
Your audience needs to know, and our audience already does know, but it's a great question. Thank you, Ira. Can I call you Ira?
Absolutely.
Right.
I'd be offended if you didn't. Beautifully answered, gentlemen. Here's one that, this one's straight out of my head. This was the most fascinating thing for me all season, bar none.
Sure.
Had to be your use of echolocation.
Yeah.
While you were down in this cave for, what was it, a year and a half, 2 years? Or,
19 and a half months.
19 and a half months.
A few days. Dutch, if you want to answer this, or I could just jump on in, either.
What was the actual question?
Yeah.
So, how did you know that echolocation, first of all, was going to be a viable option for you? Because, I mean, it's pretty much, if it doesn't work, you don't get to be down there for that amount of time.
Yeah. Echolocation for us was the only option. There's all sorts of situations that we find ourselves in, that we get into, and we have to think on our feet, and we have to come up with a solution, we have to solve a problem. It's what we do.
You solve one problem after another, and you solve the next problem, and then the next problem, and then you end up surviving.
And that's what I was going to say. That's why we're alive.
Yeah.
We
don't look at the big picture, okay? We're not going to miss the forest among the trees.
Yeah.
Echolocation was the only option. Luckily, Brian, or Dutch, you mastered it way before I did. I mean, hours before I could. And then you kind of helped me along the way and got me to master it.
And we started off with some artificial lights. But
yeah, we started off with a series of clicks for a while, and the clicks didn't work. We actually had to go into full scream mode the way bats do it. And at this point, we don't really need echolocation anymore because we're back in civilization. But we have been contracted by our government to teach armed forces survival training, specifically teaching echolocation to our courageous men and women in the military. And God bless them, and I hope they come home safe. And I hope those that have had to use our echolocation training keeps them alive. And if it does, we're going to buy you a beer or a soda if you don't drink.
Well, it certainly served you well.
It's certainly, yep. Well, we're here. We're talking to the best radio personality in the lower 48.
Thank you.
And Alaska and Hawaii.
So we just touched upon the fact that you were out on one excursion for 19 and a half months.
Yeah.
Tell us, because you both have families
at
home, and what is it like having a family life at home and still, you know, having this obligation to humanity that you guys fulfill in what you do that requires you to be away from your families for so long?
You want to take this first, or you want me to answer it, Dutch?
My family, my immediate family, they, sometimes they push me out the door.
Get out of here.
They also understand the role that we play in society, what we're doing, and they realize, too, it's about so much more than just ourselves, but it's really a service that we're doing the world by going out there, going on these adventures, overcoming these obstacles. And they are 100% all for it.
Absolutely.
When we were in the when we were underground, that wasn't even the longest stint that we had been
on. Not even remotely close.
How long were we in the Sahara?
What did I say, 27 months?
Yeah, something like that.
It took us, yeah.
It was over 3 years.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was about right about 3 years. What's 3 years?
36 months. Maybe it was 36 months.
Yeah.
The last 8 months were a blur.
And
because of all the warring tribes, we were converting to Christianity.
Some other members of my family tried to have me pronounced dead, but my wife and my children, they would hear nothing of it.
Yeah. My wife sat me down right when we started adventuring, years and years ago. She said, "Dylan, humanity needs you." And as an illustration, Moses had a wife. Peter had a wife. I think Gandhi had a wife. And they all supported them 100% because they knew there was a greater good they're working for. During this last excursion, it's 19 months, my wife knew I was alive. I think if something was to happen to me, she'd know. But I have full support from my wife and family. I have four children. And they know, because I'm training them up to be adventurers. And I wouldn't even, you know, when I say adventurers, it doesn't do it justice. We are seeking. We're seekers, and we're going where no other man has gone before. And we relish in that. Mm-hmm. And our families understand it, and they support us, and they love us.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's really beautiful that you guys, you know, you have that
sure
to come home to and spurn you on while you're out there.
We're planning a 7-year trek in the next 2 years, and our families are all for it.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. All right, it is time to address the 900-pound elemental smoke and
elephant in the room.
Fire elemental demon elephant in the room.
Demon giant.
Sure.
What are we talking about, the sun?
You guys, of course, battled victoriously, I do have to add. Spoiler alert, if you haven't finished the season, first of all, shame on you. I don't know why you're listening to the wrap-up show.
Watch through them.
But a spoiler alert, listen, you guys beat a Balrog.
Yeah.
Now, before we get into this, I just want you to know that my listeners are familiar with this.
Who isn't? I mean, are you familiar with the United States? Are you familiar with the South African regime, the Afrikaners?
Genghis Khan? My listeners are familiar with the Battle of a Balrog, because we had an epic telling by Gandalf. He actually spent 2 days of our mini-series. Mm. Two whole days.
I saved that.
Discussing saved that the Battle of the Balrog, and it was...
We factored that into our battle before we went into the caves. During the library stint in the Nicaraguan library archives, especially the hidden archives unlocked by the president of Nicaragua.
Yeah.
Part of that was a recording of your radio show.
Now, here's my question, and this was something that came up with Gandalf as well. How are you sure that you have seen the last of this Balrog? How are you sure that it is indeed vanquished? Because I know this is something that is that terrified and keeps Gandalf awake is the concept that this thing is not actually gone, and part of it has stuck with him for the rest of his life.
When you fight a Balrog, it does stick with you for the rest of your life. How am I so sure it's dead? I don't know. I know it's gone. I know it's going to be a while before it comes back, if it does. I also trust in Yukon Cornelius' power to hold this Balrog as long as he can.
Which, can I just also say, I mean, you said we fought it victoriously, and I think we have to include Yukon's contribution in that.
He was the linchpin.
Really was.
So, do we know? We don't know. Some people have criticized us because we kept the sorcerer's eye.
Yeah, they said we're asking for it to come back.
Here's where people are wrong. We're keeping the sorcerer's eye so it doesn't come back. The sorcerer's eye, those of you who haven't listened, is the jewel, which we can only assume was almost powering this demonic giant. During our battle, I actually grabbed it from its neck, and we used it to open a portal, which it then went through. So we're keeping the sorcerer's eye for the same reason the president has the nuclear codes. So no one else does. And we're guardians. In a way, you could call us gatekeepers. And this gate is closed. The gate is not down, as they say in Ender's Game. Great book. Mm. So no, we don't know if it's dead.
Well, piggybacking on that, you mentioned the Sorcerer's Eye. Where is it? What did you guys do with this this diamond encrusted ruby?
Well, it's not in a museum.
It's in a safe place.
With top men.
You know, the famous Fabergé egg was mailed to the London Museum. And so is the Hope Diamond, using regular post office, instead of like
a certified, huge, I would hope.
Who knows, but it got there safer, and they had a fake, they had like a fake, what's it called, a motorcade.
Cavalcade.
To bring it there, when it was really just the regular mail. So, it's in a safe place. I don't think anyone's going to find it. We're not even going to give any clues, because our listeners are pretty savvy, but it's in a place we have not mentioned on our podcast, nor will we, and it's nowhere near our homes.
No, so absolutely.
We don't need people coming around our house or our places of work. But I think what people should rest easy that no one's going to find it. No human will find it.
All right. And what about the pick of Yukon Cornelius?
You listen really well.
That I have that with me. Actually, a lot.
Yeah.
I carry it around with me quite a bit. Mm-hmm. Right now, it's hanging on the wall, the mantle. I'm sorry, above my fireplace. Yeah. If I'm not carrying it around, that's usually where it can be found.
We feel that Yukon wanted us to keep it, mm-hmm, for safekeeping until he comes back.
And to use. It's one of those things that it's not a trophy. Mm-hmm. It was something that was meant to be used.
Yeah, he would want it that way. We're just keeping it sharp until he makes his presence back, mm-hmm, known back again. We haven't seen him in years, so we're just waiting.
Yeah.
Hopefully we do see him. Hopefully it's good news. Hopefully he doesn't come to us and say the Balrog's escaped.
That would be terrible news.
Right. Think about that every day. I'm eating cereal.
So I got to tell you,
Frosted Flakes.
I've tried to go through. I've listened to the season multiple times, and I've tried to reconstruct the timeline of your lives and as they intersected with each other, mm-hmm, and it's I got to tell you, it's not easy to piece together. I mean, how exactly old are you guys, and when did you guys even actually meet for the first time? I mean, it just seems like it's really a crazy cross paths.
We do go way back.
Yeah, I've known Dutch for years.
Yeah,
and the more we get to know each other, the more we realize we've crossed paths many times.
We've had a lot of adventures.
Yeah.
A lot of run-ins.
My favorite run-in was during the arm wrestling referee.
Was it?
Maybe, but there's still so much we don't know about each other. I mean, we've only spent, like, a long time with each other, and only. Just talking about our past.
Yeah.
In the present.
So to answer your question, I mean, a long time.
Yeah.
How old are we?
We're old enough.
You're as old as you feel.
Yeah. I feel young.
Yeah.
I feel pretty young.
You've got a lot of years left in me, I'll just tell you that.
Oh, yeah. Many. Yeah. That's as specific as we could get, I think.
You know, that actually reminds me a lot of Dan Haggerty's mentality. Was he was really famous for saying, you know, my body really doesn't care how many times it's been around the sun.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
And that, I mean, he said that to me when I was, you know, really, really early on in this,
he's like your Mr.
this
Miyagi
business. Yes. I mean, that changed my entire outlook, mm-hmm, on really how to approach, you know,
everything,
life, this whole thing that we're doing right now.
People speculate that Gandalf has really been around since the beginning of time.
Sure.
I always wonder how old he was. Did you ask him how old he was?
You know, it's really hard to get a direct answer out of him. Yeah. So
that's weird.
Just answer the question.
Yeah.
Right.
Come on.
you ask him something, and he gives you this whole speech about how wizards are mysterious and never wrong, and they always mean what they mean, whatever the heck that means.
He comes across as condescending.
Yes.
I don't like him that much.
You know, my students
kind of did.
Sometimes I'll get to my class after the bell rings. I'll say, Mr. Wagon, you're late. I'll say, no. I arrive precisely when I mean to.
See, yeah, and that,
I got exactly. That's good. Gandalf. You got yeah. that from yeah. Gandalf. And but the thing is, I got to be completely honest with you. And I really don't mind if he hears this, but by the end of that miniseries, I was a little fed up with him. You know?
Done with
him. I was done.
Talking about a ballroom all the time.
I was done.
You know, he spends most of his time with hobbits. What do you expect?
And he's really self-important. I mean, he really feels like
we get it. You killed a Balrog.
Right.
You like, fought a Nazgul.
He really you feels helped. Like none of this stuff happens without him.
You helped know, some it's... short guys destroy a ring.
Right.
Good for you. Let me pat you on the back. He does bear one of the rings, though. The Ring of Fire. He let me wear it once.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
That was cool.
Did he really?
Yeah.
What was it like?
It was hot. It
was yeah.
Really warm. Yeah.
It's a great Johnny Cash song.
Yeah.
Outlaw Country.
You know who you should get on your show, Ira?
Oh, yeah.
Two people. Mm-hmm. One, Tom Selleck.
Great mustache.
Adam, we did a whole mustache month. The month of the mustache.
You know what? We avoided that because we're only into beards, but we're going to have to go back and we're going to have to binge listen to that.
Yeah. No, we had Tom Selleck. We had Geraldo Rivera.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah.
Who else?
You know, the other person that I was thinking... Which, good luck, because I have, we don't even know where he is, but Yukon.
Yeah.
I mean, is there a more iconic beard? But,
yeah I don't even know how to, someday. I've had my people try to get in touch with him. First of all, he doesn't have people.
No.
So, I don't know. Yeah. I would love to. I would love to.
No, that'd be a good listen.
Everything he says, I love. And we really miss him. If you're listening to this show... Yukon Cornelius, get in touch with us. Shoot us an email. Just let us know you're out there.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to go a little rapid fire on these next ones. You guys do mention in nearly every episode the consumption of sometimes seemingly copious amounts of alcohol.
Yeah.
I'm drinking beer right now.
Yeah, I'm drinking some.
Do you happen to maybe think that perhaps you have drinking problems? A bit of alcoholism.
I spilled Coca-Cola on me on the way here, and I have really bad hand-eye coordination in the dark. But drinking problems, I could stop anytime I want. I don't want to. I don't need to. And people don't want me to.
Hmm.
So when I drink alcohol, I get really fun, and I get really distracting, and I do really a lot of unsafe, crazy things, and I'm spastic, and I don't drive. If I have alcohol in my system, of course not, but, you know, I grab a sword, throw it in traffic, rocks. You know, just the normal stuff, doing what guys do.
And do you feel any personal responsibility for the depleting resource of single malt scotch? Because it's, it seems to be that you guys drink... more than your fair share of single malt.
You know, I think a lot of those scotches were laid down with us in mind.
Yeah.
Like you said, and like we've said, we've been around a while.
So you're saying the rest of the world is actually impeding on your supply
of single malt. I think the rest of the world's listening to our podcast and they're drinking single malt scotch to copy us. To try and be us.
And we should also say we are in no short supply of single malt scotch.
No.
We have stockpiles.
Vladimir Putin himself said, and I quote, "I'm going to try more single malt scotch because Dylan and Dutch drink it a lot."
Yeah.
And I love them. Now, we're Americans, so we're not going to endorse him. But he said it.
Also, clean shaven. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Grow a beard, Putin.
Weak.
I mean...
just try it.
You live in one of the coldest areas on Earth.
Right.
Rocky, he grew a beard when he went to Russia.
Exactly.
That's a great beard. Have you got Sylvester Stallone on your show?
No.
He doesn't have a beard now, but when he did...
Rocky and I'll tell you why. Have you heard the man on the radio?
Oh, yeah.
A completely indistinguishable what he is saying. I could understand him in studio.
Do you want to know why?
But my audience, there's no way the microphones are going to be able to pick up what this guy is saying.
Well, me and Dutch are part of the industry, and so we're like, we have insiders. Sylvester Stallone, he has Down syndrome.
Really?
Yeah. That's what some people have told me. That's what some people have told me. We'll just say he allegedly, which is no problem, but he's...
Well, then he's a hero. He's
gotten really far.
Yeah,
he's... I want to call him a hero.
Well, he's a hero for that community.
You know, that community is amazing, and we love them, but I think my crossing the line with Sylvester... I mean, we could always edit it out and post. I mean, if it's people call us. But I'm pretty sure a few people have told me. Martin Scorsese, we had coffee 3 weeks ago.
What a pleasure, editing out in post.
Yeah.
That's not something I'm used to, being having a live syndicated radio show.
Who else? Talia Shire. We play cribbage once every other month. She played Adrian in the Rocky movies. Burt Young. They all have confirmed that there is some type of developmental delay with Sylvester Stallone. And that's why he has that weird speech impediment. Good guy.
Great guy.
5'8".
No, no, not even that much.
Really?
Yeah.
5'6"?
Yeah, somewhere around there.
I love Tango and Cash. I don't know if you've watched Tango and Cash, Dutch.
Mm-mm.
Great, great film. Have you seen it?
Yeah, Kurt Russell.
Oh, yeah.
And Sylvester Stallone. The opening sequence with the tanker that they pull over.
Yep.
No, great.
Guy with a huge jaw.
Yeah.
What were we talking about? What was the question?
I don't even know. I think this one descended from you guys being alcoholics.
Do you think you're an alcoholic, Dutch?
No. Next question.
Yeah. Next question.
Rapid fire.
That was not as rapid. So when did you know that metal detecting was in your future, was what you wanted to do with your life, was your life calling?
Whew. It's like a job interview.
I was walking down the street. I was probably about 4 years old. Mm-hmm. Going to my friend Bert's house, and
good name.
Walked past a Radio Shack, and there, right in the window, in the display, was this metal detector, and there was a photo of a gentleman with the metal detector. He was holding up a watch in his hand, a gold watch, and right away, I looked at that guy and I said, what an idiot.
Yeah.
He's doing that the wrong way.
Even at 4, you could tell.
Oh, yeah. Look at that guy. What just a clown.
Just a model.
Yeah.
Idiot.
And so that's when I knew, you know what? I'm going to show the world how this is done.
Mm-hmm.
It took me a week to save up enough money.
Yeah.
Wow. Saved my milk money, saved a bunch of other people's milk money.
Yeah.
And,
it's an all-purpose loan.
Yeah. Got my first metal detector when I was 4.5.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
When I was 6, I was in first grade, I fell down a well. Probably 200 feet, maybe less, I don't know. It was dry. They couldn't pull me back up. So what I did was, I actually burrowed about 300 yards, found a lot of rocks during that burrowing session. Quartz, a lot of shale, a lot of just regular rocks, a lot of rose quartz. And I realized something about the whole situation, a lot of iron pyrite. Realize that I really want to know what's underground. And be that gold or silver or any other mineral. But what's underneath our feet is something that I want to dig up and I want to expose to the world. I was 6. That was a great day. It only took me like a week to burrow far enough to get out of that hill.
I remember listening to the radio reports.
Yeah. Kid in the well.
Yep.
Disappeared. I was on Oprah as a little kid. You could still find it, like, on YouTube. Yeah. I didn't like her that much. Just kept mispronouncing my first name.
I think we have time for just one more question.
Yeah.
So what is next for Dylan and Dutch Metal Detecting?
You know, recently we've been doing a lot of work for local police agencies, combing crime scenes, searching for bullet fragments, casings, or just any other kind of evidence to help with the case.
Yeah, just to help with the crime scenes and restructuring crime scenes, stuff like that, and investigations. I have a few friends at different police agencies, and they've just called us up because they also listen to our show, and they've been following our exploits in National Geographic and Time and other magazines that have featured us. And, I mean, just basic stuff. There's X amount of gunfire. It's like in a field. It's like at night. They call us up. We take our metal detectors out, scan the area. We never pick up the bullet fragments. We always have to call a detective over and point. We have to wear special shoes so we don't mess up the crime scene. It's a very technical situation we've kind of fallen into. We don't accept money. We have regular jobs. But we are the top of our field for the area we're at. And just recently, I forgot to tell you, my friend he's a special agent in the FBI. I'm not going to say his last name because, well, obvious reasons. But they want us to go out tomorrow morning and handle, like, some case.
Okay.
Something.
I think I'm free.
We'll talk more about it off air. But it's exciting. I've never been contacted by the FBI before. It was a little intimidating.
Yeah, I can imagine.
This is so-and-so from the FBI. The Bureau. Yeah. The guy doesn't have a beard, but
we'll forgive him for that.
Yeah. He's got the typical police officer mustache, which, if it's on Tom Selleck, that's the kind of mustache, I like it. Or, what's his name? From Roadhouse.
Samuel Elliott.
Samuel Elliott. That's a great mustache. Have you had him on your show?
No.
We're going to bring him on. All right. He's the godfather to my second oldest child.
Awesome.
Yeah. He's great. Wonderful man. He loves playing bridge. Well, he's a bridge fanatic. Absolutely. So yeah, I think that's it. No more questions from Ira Fuller. Again, this is Ira Fuller from the 10 o'clock shadow, nationally syndicated radio show.
Yes.
You can find it all over the internet.
If iTunes. You have discovered that you have become intoxicated by the sound of my voice, just go search the 10 o'clock shadow, find out when it's playing on a radio station near you. We're also on satellite radio.
Satellite radio, that's great.
You'll find it. Don't worry.
It's another episode of Dylan and Dutch. Dylan and Dutch.
Out. Next season on Dylan and Dutch Metal Detecting.
We both got the same call at 4 a.m. What was said on the other line made absolutely no sense at the time.
When police agencies approach you at your regular job asking for help, how do you say no? These are the first responders, and they need our expertise.
I had to sit down with my wife and explain to her I was being hunted, that she had to leave in the middle of the night with our kids. I told her to leave her cell phone, leave her credit cards and her ATM, leave no trace. I told her not to tell me where she was going. It was heartbreaking.
We could just feel the danger closing in. I drove home a different route every day. I didn't walk outside at night. I stopped answering our phones.
When you get to a point in your career where you're reaching the top of your field, you have to pray you don't make more enemies than friends.
That's when we decided that we were either going to be the prey or the predators.